Well, I hear an echo of myself.
You do, you That's do, weird. You do. That's usually what I hear.
Oh. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm here on time today.
Yay!
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing just swell. How are you?
All right. You have a good week?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. You sound so thrilled.
I know. You know, got paid. Paid some bills. Life goes on.
Probably watched some TV. I
did watch some TV.
Probably watched some Little People.
Just trailers for Little People.
Trailers for Little People? Are those like... Like just boxes with wheels on them, or
they're called Minnebagos.
Okay. You're funny.
Yeah, I know.
So this, speaking of things on TV, this week saw the end of a couple of things.
It did?
Yes.
Like what?
It was the last ever episode of David Letterman. Did you watch his farewell?
I did not.
No?
I was never really that into Letterman.
No?
No.
In your late night show watching, who's your favorite talk show host?
You mean right now?
Yeah.
It's between Fallon and Kimmel. They're both very different.
But growing up, did you like watch Carson, or did you watch?
No, I was in bed by 10 o'clock. I had a very sheltered childhood.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's right.
My parents watched Johnny Carson, so I think that made me gravitate towards something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Letterman a lot when he moved to CBS.
Okay.
I even went to a taping once.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to sign up for tickets like 6 months in advance, and then like they just kind of show up in the mail. And you had no clue who the guest was until like that week.
Right.
And then you had to go into something called a TV guide and look up the day that you were on to see, oh, I'm going to be seeing these people.
Mm-hmm.
And the guests that I saw were Evander Holyfield, and this was right after he had his ear bitten off.
Okay.
Michael Moore.
Okay.
And some kid that found a bag full of money and returned it.
Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah. But, so he did his last show. It was kind of nice. It was very poignant. You know, he spent most of the show thanking people and like really showing his appreciation. It wasn't just like, hey, these are my last three guests.
Right.
It was more like, you know, like Foo Fighters was there and he explained why the Foo Fighters were such a big part of the show and why it meant so much to him that they were there. And
yeah. And why is that?
Well, he, when he had his heart attack or his open heart surgery or whatever it was,
Dave Grohl donated his heart.
No, but
gave him mouth to mouth.
I guess he heard a lot of, I can't remember what song it was. There was a particular song at the time that the Foo Fighters were playing, and it was something that Dave listened to a lot while he was in rehab. And, when he was coming back, they asked him who he wanted on the show, and he said, well, I've been listening to a lot of Foo Fighters, so can we get them on? And they said, well, we'll check, we don't know what their schedule is. And basically they canceled a South American tour to come back and do his first show back, so they've been kind of tight ever since. But
well, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, they said goodbye to the band and to all the backstage people that always are like on camera, like Biff and all those people, and it was nice.
Now, one thing I did want to know is, like, did Dave use his last wish to finally free Paul Schaefer?
He gave Paul Schaefer a piece of clothing and that freedom.
Oh, that's nice.
He's no longer the CBS house elf. It's not like Dobby. I guess like he should have sacrificed himself at the very last second for Dave, but Dobby has a sock. But it was nice. It's sad that it feels like a lot of my childhood is gone.
Well, isn't he like almost 70?
I mean, it's definitely he's retiring. I think he's retiring at the same age that Carson retired at.
Ah.
And I mean, he said himself, he was like, I can't keep up with Fallon. Like,
right.
There's no way to keep up with Fallon. Like anybody who goes into that slot, like Steve Colbert has a huge upward battle to gain any momentum against Jimmy Fallon, which is why I hope that he completely does something different.
One can only hope, and one can hope that it doesn't become, you know, the Colbert Report again.
Right.
That he's able to reinvent himself.
I mean, I started watching after, what's his name? Craig Ferguson went off the air.
Yeah.
I watched his replacement, John Corbin. And
John Corbin?
Yeah. He's on the Late Late Show.
You mean James Corden?
Is it James? I thought it was John. James. Okay.
He was also in Into the Woods.
Was he? I don't know. I didn't see that movie. but he does it like how they do their shows in England, where both guests are up on the couch for the entire hour.
Yes.
And they talk, like they'll talk to each other, and they'll talk to him, and like it's an actual conversation.
Right.
Instead of, this is what we're going to talk about, and this is what you have to plug. So I enjoy that. I think he's a funny dude. I think the stuff that he's done up to this point has been pretty good. So,
okay.
I think if you're looking for something like Conan's the old standby, but like,
yeah,
Fallon and Kimmel are kind of going above and beyond and kind of changing what like the late shows are supposed to be.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So so the other finale was
What
did you say?
Hmm?
You okay?
What?
Okay. So the other finale Stop. So the other finale was The Flash. I would like to know if you watched it and what you thought of it.
Yes, liked it. Next question.
Wow, thank you for being so descriptive. Yeah. Well, folks, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed
I really liked it. I loved the fact that when the helmet came flying out of the vortex. So it's like, oh, okay, now all of a sudden we're going to throw time travel into the mix because apparently we can sort of do it safely. Not really, but maybe.
Well, what I found interesting was for anybody who watched it and didn't get all the Easter eggs. So if you've been watching the show all season long, there's been this overarching story of Barry going back to save his mother. And the only way for them to really do it is for him to run the length of the particle accelerator at Mach 2, and then they fire a hydrogen atom at him, and that somehow opens a wormhole. I'm not a scientist, and I don't really know how that works, but I'll suspend my disbelief because it's a dude that runs super fast. So he goes back in time, and he decides not to save his mother. Like, the whole crux to the show has been the second chance to go and get her and save her so that she's alive. And when he gets to the past, his future self kind of waves him off and says, no, don't, just let it happen.
Yep.
And they cut back to the present time, and it's the Reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne, who has cut a deal so that he could go back to his time, which is the 25th century or whatever.
Yep.
Which some math doesn't work on that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as he's standing there saying his goodbyes, a helmet comes flying out of the wormhole, and it happens to be the helmet of Jay Garrick, who is another speedster in DC Comics. And what I find fascinating about that is he's the speedster on Earth 2.
Right.
And not so much where Barry Allen lives, because there's a thing called the multiverse. And without getting too geeky and too deep into it, there are several multiverses that coexist at the same time and have different versions of the heroes that you know. So what is really interesting about that helmet is while Jay Garrick is a Silver Age superhero, this could mean that we're going to be traveling to alternate realities and alternate versions of the characters that everybody knows from The Flash. So when he was running down the tunnel, he started to see images, and one of those was Caitlin as Killer Frost, and the other one was the Flash Museum, and then the other one was Barry in jail, which was something that threw a lot of people. So they have this whole new world to open up of, if he's running between these alternate realities, it could very much be like Fringe, where you have one episode that happens in our reality and one episode that happens in another, and you're dealing with a different set of heroes. And then you could bring in heroes for one episode and like completely use them, and then they're gone. You don't have to like worry about writing stories for them.
Right.
So I think it's a very, very interesting take on something that I think Marvel has been trying to do. And how do you combine all these heroes, and how do you combine these stories? And DC's like, oh, we'll just do multiverses. It's all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited. I thought it was really well done. I thought the effects for a weekly television show were phenomenal. There's a couple of things that I probably overpicked, like I'm nitpicky about, but that last shot of him. So at the very end, there's a big singularity, and because spoilers, one of the characters shoots themselves in order to stop the Reverse Flash. And that creates a time paradox, and a singularity opens up to right the paradox. And the last shot is Barry running up a building and running into the paradox, and the singularity kind of closing.
Yep.
And one of the guys at work was like, I really hated that ending. I don't like cliffhangers. And I was like, but if you've read comic books, that's exactly what the last panel of a comic book would be.
Right.
That's the shot where they would be like, hey, come back next month when we put out the next book to see what happens. So they've been able to craft a living comic book. And I can't think of any show recently that has come out of a freshman year with a really, really good track record.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of episodes that were like filler episodes, but for the most part, this is unlike anything that I think we've seen on TV in a long time.
Right.
Like I said, I can't, maybe Battlestar Galactica, that first season was good, but I think that was darker and some people probably didn't like that as much. But this, I mean, everybody's raving about, so.
Yeah, I think they did an amazing job. It was kind of surprising they were able to pull it off.
So to get nitpicky.
Uh-huh.
So Eobard, somebody talks to Eobard, I think it's Cisco, and he asks him about the future or something, and Eobard says that he was born 123 years from now. But he's from the 25th century. So I'm not really sure how that all works. Because he should have said, like, I'm 423 years from now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's TV.
Well, but I mean, knowing the comic book history, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense from a TV show point.
Mm.
Because people live longer in the future in the comic books. They actually live centuries, so.
Right.
And in the comic books, in the original continuity before the New 52, I think Eobard worked at the Flash Museum.
Oh, okay.
And he had studied the Flash and become such a fan that his coworkers called him Dr. Zoom, which is where, or Professor Zoom, which is where that name comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if any of that will come back in the play, but they did say that everybody that you saw have a conclusion to in the finale will be back for season two.
Yes.
So we'll get Tom Cavanaugh. We'll get the other guy back.
Well, why are we getting Tom Cavanaugh back? He's dead. He doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but technically, if he doesn't exist, that means that Harrison Wells is alive.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So if they keep things the way... If the paradox doesn't reset everything and basically erase the last couple of episodes, then Wells is actually still alive. But they also said that Eddie would be back, and I don't know how they're going to work that out.
So if Wells is still alive,
uh-huh,
then Thawne never killed him and his wife and took their bodies.
Right.
Which means that the explosion at Star Labs never happened. Which right. means that Flash never was born.
That's the paradox.
Okay.
That's the paradox, and that's why the singularity comes back. Because if you erase Eobard Thawne from the timeline, then the accelerator shouldn't even be there.
Right.
Because it doesn't get built for another 5 years or whatever it is.
Hmm.
But it's all still there. The Flash is still there. Caitlin and Cisco are still there. So that's why, like, once the singularity is closed, it comes back.
Right. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's good TV. I think anybody who hasn't watched it, but you like superhero shows, should watch it.
So do you think this is becoming the must-see TV of the week?
I would say, for me, yes.
Will it become as popular as, say, Walking Dead?
No, because I think there's still a divide between comic book people and the rest of society. And The Walking Dead is digestible in chunks through, like, graphic novels, where The Flash, you have decades worth of stories. You have different speedsters, and you have different storylines and continuities, and hey, we're going to reboot it now, and now we're going to retell the origin of Barry, and now it's going to be Wally West and Kid Flash, and now it's going to be Jay Garrick, and now it's going to be all this other stuff. And I think it's a lot for people to handle.
Mm.
It's not, you know, Flash and Arrow, I think, have a very devoted audience, but it's not as big as it definitely, I don't think, will ever be as big as Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because most people can get into The Walking Dead and be like, hey, it's zombies. I kind of get that. But when you have to, like, know what the Speed Force is and what a metahuman is...
But do you really?
I don't know, because I can't speak from somebody who doesn't know what that stuff is.
Right.
So, I mean, as soon as they say Speed Force, I understand that. Like, but if somebody else is going to sit down and watch it, I don't know how important that would be.
Hmm.
And that just seems like a lot... When you're getting into something, that just seems like a lot in order to take in and understand and comprehend all that before the show starts to make sense to you. And, you know, who is the Reverse Flash, and, like, how is this all, like, connect together, and You know, how is Captain Cold different than he is in the comic books and all that kind of crap.
Right.
I mean, I think they do a good job of making it accessible for people.
Right.
But I think the fear factor of people saying, well, that's just too much for me to deal with.
But don't you think it operates on two different levels? There's the level for the fan, the geek, the nerd, who's really into it and is looking for the Easter eggs. And then there's the level of just the average person who wants to watch adventure TV.
Well, I think it would be enjoyable to everybody. Again, I've been an OG nerd since 77. So like I grew up on this stuff.
Right.
So anytime that there's a superhero show, I'll at least give it a shot. Even if I don't like it, like Smallville.
Right.
But I'll still, you know, I'll still watch it and I'll still be like, well, that could be kind of cool. I mean, I've liked stuff that wasn't popular. I like Birds of Prey and I liked the stuff that I've seen of the original Flash TV show in the 90s I thought was clever for the time.
Right.
But, I mean, sitting down with a little kid who is like, Mommy, Daddy, the Flash, and being an adult and having to sit through that, I don't know how popular that would be.
Okay.
I mean, I think, like, if you look at the shows, even though Arrow is a darker show, it's more digestible just simply from the fact of you're not dealing with metahumans and powers and the sci-fi aspects of it. It's a dude with a bow who is trying to save his city.
Yeah.
And I think that became popular because that is digestible to people. That is, he's on an island for 5 years, but not really. But like that first season, people got into it because the flashbacks informed the story and you were pretty much watching two shows at the same time. And this is, The Flash was very much an overarching story that had a lot of sci-fi elements to it.
Right.
And as we know, sci-fi television isn't highly accepted.
It's not?
No.
Everybody loves it.
At least if it's on Fox, you know.
Well, that's science fiction on Fox.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if you saw, like, the announcements for the fall, but Fox is doing a TV show based on the movie Minority Report.
Yes.
And they had a trailer. And I watched the trailer, and one of the things that I really liked was that it's not rehashing the movie. This takes place after the movie, and the fallout of what happened in the movie is addressed and all this stuff. And I liked that. I thought that was very clever. And then when it got to the end and I saw that it was on Fox, I was like, well, there's no hope for this. Like, it's sci-fi, and even if it's good, they'll start showing on the wrong nights and out of order and
right
all the other shit that they did to all the other good sci-fi shows, and it'll be done. It'll get one season and that's it. However, Sleepy Hollow's still on the air, so
well, yeah,
although I don't watch that, so I don't even know if it's any good.
I enjoy it.
Do you?
Yeah, it's very Buffy. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's very Buffy.
I hear there's a lot of religious overtones to it. Is that true?
Well, yeah, but not like Jesus overtones, like
this. No, like Revelations.
Puritans believed, and well, yeah, that too.
Like it, like the Headless Horseman is actually one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yes, okay. That's true. Yes.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad. Like I said, I just
no. But I mean, the four horsemen appeared in Supernatural.
That's another weird show that I never really got into.
Really?
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where there's a huge event at the end of every season that kind of turns back, not necessarily turns back the clock, but that just kind of sends everybody back to square one. Whereas, like, you know, In one season, they're racing around the country to prevent the demons from opening the portal to hell and releasing all the demons into the world. And then in this one, they have released the Dark Ones back into the world.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, are you really just running out of things to do? Because you've already played this thing out.
Well, and I've heard of like meta episodes of that show where like they wake up and they're actually the actors making a TV show called Supernatural.
That was a great episode.
It seems like a little on the nose though.
But it was a great episode. They had one where they went to a Supernatural con and kept running into people dressed as themselves in Castiel, and that was kind of funny. Yeah.
So it's very meta. Okay.
Sure, it's very meta.
Meta.
Very meme-y.
Meta. Oh, that's weird.
It is weird. Did you watch the finale of that other show? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, yes, I did.
So May is off the show?
Why? What happened, sir?
She packs up her bags and goes away at the end of the episode.
Oh, see, this is one of those things, like, I feel like they don't know what to do with themselves as far as Marvel is concerned.
Right.
Because, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen Age of Ultron yet, at the very end, there is definitely something that happens where S.H.I.E.L.D. is involved.
Right.
And by that note, next season should be completely different. It should no longer be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So what should it be? Former Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, it should be...
Agents of not S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of the Avengers, I guess.
Okay.
So, like... See, I can't... I don't want to spoil the movie. But it's hard to talk about without, like... without spoiling it. So I feel like when they got to their ending, they had to kind of leave stuff open for next season. So, like, they're carrying on without May, and they're carrying on without all these people, and then something happens and they need to go get her.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it felt to me. You know, if they want to do the Inhuman storyline like they have been, then I feel like they need to step back from the S.H.I.E.L.D. part of it.
How?
I don't know. I don't, like, because they're gonna have to come to a conclusion with what's going on in the movies.
Well, yeah.
I mean, oh god, it's so hard to talk about without spoiling shit.
Well, who are you gonna spoil it for?
You, for one.
Oh, please.
All right, so if anybody doesn't want to know what happens at the end of Age of Ultron, fast forward a minute. Starting now. So at the end of Age of Ultron, with S.H.I.E.L.D. gone, they bring back the helicarrier like you saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And Fury comes out of hiding, and at the very end, there's a new Avengers facility that is basically S.H.I.E.L.D. now. So S.H.I.E.L.D. basically turns into the Avengers. So I don't know how they deal with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I... Watching this and knowing what happens in the movies, it's very hard to see how they don't know Coulson's alive the next time you see the show, or because he's basically still part of S.H.I.E.L.D., but S.H.I.E.L.D. no longer exists and it's a different entity now, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was good. I thought, like, I'm not super into the Inhuman stuff, but I thought they did it justice enough to that I don't have to sit through an origin story later on.
Okay.
Which is always my biggest beef with this crap.
Right.
So, hopefully, they can tie everything together. And I guess I like the fact that the DC universe is connected sort of, especially on the CW, but, like, it's not connected to the movies. That way they don't have to worry about...
Sure.
Characters and shit crossing over.
Right. Superman versus Batman doesn't really have to have any impact on what they're showing on TV.
No.
In any of those shows. So, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
No, I mean, and I like that, even though they are going to do a Flash movie that's got Barry Allen, but it's going to be completely different.
Sure.
I mean, I think at that point, then you have to, like, make it Wally West or not have, like, even though it's not connected, it's going to get confusing at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Supergirl. I think Supergirl is an interesting concept, but I also feel like they're going to miss... It's going to be strange. She's basically just going to be an analog for Clark Kent, I think, at that point. And it's going to be his journey through her situation.
You really think so?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's wearing the glasses and she's the nerdy, like, she's working in an entertainment company instead of a newspaper, and Jimmy Olsen is there, and, like...
So basically it's Superman with tits.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. Did you see that the trailer, not the trailer, the pilot leaked online?
Yes, I saw that.
I was like, you know, 6 months out, that's something I wouldn't want to see. Because you know nothing's done.
Right.
The only thing that's done is what they showed in the trailer. You know, that 3 minutes.
Right.
But, I don't know. People are saying that it's not as bad as Wonder Woman, so we'll see.
That's not a really good analogy for things.
No, because...
You know, yeah, better than a sharp stick in the eye. Well, yeah, but pretty much anything is.
Well, yeah. But girls need superheroes, too.
Do they really?
Sure.
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Why can't they have their own?
Because they have Barbie dolls.
Oh, Jesus. Send your hate mail to John at...
Why is that hate mail? Why do they need superheroes?
If nerdy guys ever want to meet nerdy girls... They need to come up with feminine superheroes.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
So that they can bond over the Justice League.
Okay. And do little action figure puppet shows at the end of their bed?
That's right.
Okay.
Inside baseball. I saw the new Mad Max movie over the weekend.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was done pretty well.
Okay.
I don't really know why they called it a Mad Max movie. It should have been a movie surrounding Charlize Theron's character.
Mm-hmm.
Because Max has, I think, like 4 lines in the entire hour and a half.
Well, he didn't have many lines in the original either, and he was overdubbed because they didn't use Mel Gibson's voice.
Yeah, well. But it's pretty much what you see in the trailer. It's one long car chase. But, you know, whatever. It was good. If you can see it for, you know, reduced price, go see it.
Go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a couple of articles online on, like, the vehicles and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. And I like that flame-throwing guitar.
That was very interesting.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, 80% of what you're seeing is practical,
mm-hmm.
is very cool because it's nothing but car crashes and explosions and people driving through, like, this desolate wasteland and the issues that you would run into while being chased by this creepy guy. But like every post-apocalyptic futuristic movie, there's always a guy that has like oxygen tubes in his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's always one of those guys, and this is no different. Like as soon as he popped up, I was like, there he is. Okay. And then you have like the creepy mutant people.
Right.
That's in every post-apocalyptic movie.
Sure.
Like, oh, there they are. Okay. So it hits everything, you know. I'm trying to see if I can find exactly how many lines he has. I was very shocked that Mel Gibson didn't have some kind of weird cameo.
Yeah.
Does it say? I don't see it. It's very sparse though. Like even when he's talking to people, it's just like grunts. okay, sure. No, I don't see it.
You don't see it. Oh well.
Nope. But yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Okay. I'll wait till it's on DVD.
And then you'll never watch it.
And then I'll never watch it. It'll be wrapped on my shelf.
I can only imagine the things that you've missed. By
how do you know I've missed?
Because there's been some good movies that I don't think you've ever seen.
Such as?
I don't know. I'm sure. Like, I'd have to look at your shelf of wrapped DVDs and say, have you ever watched this one? Have you ever seen this movie?
Uh-huh.
And then you'd be like, no. And I said, oh, you're missing out. Like Guardians. It took you forever to see Guardians.
Yeah.
And it was a really good movie.
But I don't feel I missed anything by waiting.
Yeah, you did. You missed the hype.
See, that's just it. I don't need the hype.
Yes, you do. Everybody needs the hype. Everybody needs it.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You say so.
Mm-hmm. I do. So in other news, what do you think about 19 Kids and Counting?
Well, my wife asked me about this because I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the show.
You're a Duggar?
You're
related to them somehow?
No, I'm not related. I was technically in an episode of 19 Kids and Counting.
No.
Yes. So the company that I worked for in Arkansas had a helicopter rig, and we were hired by the producers of 19 Kids and Counting to go shoot aerial footage of the house and their RV and a couple other things.
Okay.
And they turned it into an episode. And if you know where to look, you can see me a couple of times in the episode.
Really?
Yeah.
So was there any inappropriate touching going on, or did they offer you like, you know, hey, we got a bunch of 12-year-olds. You want to take your pick?
Ew. No.
8-year-olds? What?
No.
Okay.
So no, I didn't see any inappropriate behavior while I was there.
Okay.
I'm definitely not surprised that this happened and that it's come out that
right.
This dude diddled like 5 of his sisters or whatever.
Yeah, and this Jesus loving family hid it before they went to the authorities and
yes. Like I said, I'm not surprised. It goes to show you like what people think is right and what people think is good just isn't necessarily the way the world works. I could go on about religion and shit like that, but I won't. But like I said, I'm not surprised it happened. I'm surprised it probably took this long for it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because like every time that they go out somewhere, they're photographed because, oh, look, it's the Duggars. But I don't know. It's a weird fucked up situation. I feel bad for the girls.
Yeah.
That it happened to, but nothing's going to happen to the dude.
Of course right? not.
I mean, they're going to lose their show, and then what? They're going to still be the same creepy-ass family.
Right.
I mean, they'll go on to, if the kids need therapy or whatever, they'll go do that, but I don't know. It's a fucking damn shame.
Damn shame. Damn shame. Well, you heard that Mama June from Honey Boo Boo threatened to sue TLC if they didn't take him off the air.
Really?
Yes. And that's after she made her debut at a strip club in South Florida.
That I heard about.
Yeah, that's classy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, church-going motherfuckers.
See, people always ask, they're like, why are you an atheist? And I'm like, because religious people are weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that there are atheists that have child molestation charges against them. I'm not saying that that it's only to fucking religious people, but when you look at the number of priests and you look at the number of people like this who get caught diddling family members,
right,
it's way higher on the religious end than like the atheist scale. And I don't know.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is. It's sad because having met them, and seeing them on TV, it's almost a given that those girls are not going to get the help that they need.
No, of course not.
It'll be a pray to God type thing, and it must have been, you know, the devil inside of this kid who...
Oh, of course, because God forbid anybody take responsibility for their own fallings.
Yes. Yes, and that's one of those things, like, I don't know what to say. It's a fucked up situation, and I wish them the best of luck, but it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy that TLC pulled the plug on it. I wonder how long they've known, because having met that production crew, they were there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew things that the public obviously doesn't know.
Right.
But I wonder how much they knew before it came out.
I'm sure they were well aware.
They just gotta hope that the little couple is clean, because that's all they've got left.
Oh, once they release their sex tape.
Oh, that's gross.
Shows them in one of those baby swings.
Oh, God, my eyes.
That little thing that you put the baby in, the round ring that's got the wheels on it. They're rolling around the apartment doing it.
I was actually thinking of one of those. Remember, like, the old school kids' bouncy things that you would set up in a doorway?
Yes.
So, you know, he's laying on the ground.
Yes.
And she's bouncing up over him.
That would be hilarious. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fucked up situation. That's, yeah. I'm glad TLC was smart enough to remove him, though. I guess under threat of...
They did it very fast.
They did. I wonder if they yanked all the stuff off of Netflix, too. Let's see. Because that would be a contract thing.
But you violated your contract by touching your sister.
Five of them.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't get that, man. I don't get how that's a That's good for anybody. I mean, I guess it's just one of those things. I'm not like defending the dude, but I guess like if you're sheltered your entire life and you have questions about the opposite sex, I guess that's maybe how he was thinking of it, but
I see. I don't know.
Oh no, they yanked it right off of Netflix too. Oh, good for them.
Apparently in 2006, they were supposed to appear on Oprah, and somebody sent Oprah an email saying that Josh had done some inappropriate things with little girls, and she immediately dumped them from the show.
Okay.
Oh, apparently now they can't do anything to him because the statute of limitations has run out.
Oh, well, there you go.
How convenient. Oh, that's, God helped you. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's why it's come out. Because now the statute of limitations is gone.
Of course, that's exactly why. So if Oprah knew about this 7 years ago, you got to believe that TLC was aware of what was going on to some point.
Oh, yeah.
You have to know that, you know, that they may be your cash cow right now, but guess what? At some point, it's going to blow up in your face.
Well, I mean, look at Honey Boo Boo. I mean, they...
Look at Honey Boo Boo.
They had to deal with that as well. I mean, as soon as that came out, the whole thing about her dating a child molester, you know, they had to act, and I'm sure that they're being watched, and as soon as this came out, they were like, well, fuck. Yep. Not that... I mean, I can't imagine that a lot of people still watch 19 Kids and Counting.
I have never watched it once. I can safely say.
The only one I've ever watched was the one that I was in, so...
Now I'm going to have to track that one down.
I was going to try to find it and tell you which one it was.
Yeah.
But you can't even watch it on Netflix now. Look at
oh,
that.
Well.
I don't even remember what year that was. Let me see. Well, apparently, according to Internet Movie Database...
Uh-huh.
Where's... They haven't shot... They haven't done anything since 2011?
Who, the Duggars?
Wait a minute.
That can't be true, because... If they haven't done anything in 4 years, why would they even be taking them off the air?
I don't know. Hang on.
No, I will not hang on, damn it.
Calm down.
No.
Okay, there was a spinoff that they did in 2011 that didn't go anywhere. No, that's not it either. What the fuck? Where the hell? Oh, it's under 17 Kids and Counting. Jesus Christ. 15 seasons.
Wow.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what year I did that. So maybe 2010? Let me see. Not that you're going to be able to watch this anywhere, but unless you want to watch it on Amazon Instant Video.
Nah, it's okay.
Duggar Heavy Metal? What? they did an episode called Duggars Go Wild. Maybe that's what it was for.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe it wasn't this year. I was gonna say it was the one where the mother was pregnant, but she's always pregnant. Maybe it was earlier than that. Maybe it was 2009. Stand by. Talk amongst yourselves.
Apparently TLC had to weigh whether or not they would actually pull the TV show, because they believed that the scandal wouldn't affect viewership, since it's pretty clear they still have a huge evangelical fan base who would keep watching the show.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, they're scumbags just like everybody else.
It's sad.
Okay, I can't find through their shitty internet movie database page which one it would have been. I don't know who named their fucking their episodes, but that person should be hit in the face.
Maybe they did it themselves.
Duggar on a diet. Duggar, say yes to the dress. Duggar's at the doctor's. Old McDuggar had a farm. You ask, Duggar's answer. So have you ever been diddled by a family member? Oh, is this it? Let me see. So it's an episode. It's season 3, episode 28, Duggar's in the Sky. So if you can track that down and you know exactly where to look at exactly the right time, you can see me. You can see my asshole boss more, but I am in that episode. Sad to say. Anyway, that was anticlimactic.
That was it. Oh no. What? It was season 3. Because they also have an episode called Duggar's Shoot for the Sky, which is an episode 5, season 5.
Does it say what that was consisted of?
No. Well, there's the episode called Duggar's in the Sky.
Uh-huh.
That says the Duggars are on ice and in the air. Watch as the hockey team-sized family meets a real hockey team.
Yeah, because what had happened was they gave them helicopter rides after we were done shooting.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure that once all our stuff was done, like, they showed a lot of that, but they showed a lot of, like, the helicopter coming in and landing and, like, them figuring out what the shots were going to be, and then there was a chase car that followed the helicopter while they were shooting the RV and all kinds of stupid crap.
Nice.
But it was an experience, you know. And now nobody will ever see that again because they've all been pulled. Unless you want to pay $2 on Amazon Instant. And you can see it. Or if you have the DVDs, I guess.
Oh, Jesus. Would you admit to that?
No, I would never buy those DVDs.
Good.
And I was in one. Damn it.
It's not part of your reel?
No.
Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't even get credit on it.
Are you serious?
That which sucks. I should have, but I didn't.
Fucking Duggars. Well, I'm sure if I dig deep enough on YouTube, I could find it. But, you know, I really don't care.
Well, even if they had that entire section on there, you would really have to know where to look. And the only reason I know where I am is because I was standing there when they shot it.
Right. So you're like a reflection in a window or something?
Well, I'm in one of the front seats of the helicopter when it comes in for a landing.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a couple of shots where they're setting stuff up and I'm in the background. But I only know that because I know where the camera's pointing.
Hmm.
So don't support these people. Don't spend any money on them. Just take it from me that I was in it. And now we wait for the fallout from the little couple. We're going to find out that they're abusing their adopted kids.
No, no. See, it's not true. See, it's not true. Oh, my God. That's horrible.
They've been smacking them around.
No, you know what it is?
What?
They've been bowling with them.
Let's show you all the stereotypes of that little people go through.
That would be funny. I would watch that.
You think that would make good television?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I would watch that. Little people bowling with each other.
Little people, hilarious. Big balls.
Little people, big balls. There you go. There you go. That's it. It's a hit.
There you go. See, now is the time to strike with the Little People Network.
They're damn close to it.
Now we go into all these people and say, look, we want to put you on our channel because TLC is now tainted. They're tainted with all the stuff with Honey Boo Boo and the Duggars and all this other crap that's gone on. Come to our network where it's all little people all the time.
All the time.
And you'll have specials and, like, there'll be all kinds of stuff. And you know, like, TLC isn't producing any of this stuff. It's an outside company that's producing it and then selling it to them.
Yeah.
So we just do that. Mm-hmm. And then we get some capital from some people and we make a network.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think it could work.
We sell it to, like, you know, all the new streaming services.
Right.
To be in on the ground floor of when people can pick their shit a la carte and be like, look, if you want to see little people, this is where you got to go. And then there would be this picture that would be of you sitting in the middle of a room with all these little people around you from all these different shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this big ass, like, grin on your face that, like, this is the happiest you've ever been. Surrounded by your little people. You have the little couple on one side. You have the little women New York or whatever it is on the other side.
Yep.
The little chocolatiers are feeding you chocolate.
See, you know them all.
Well, yeah. Well, I have a wife and she watches that kind of crap.
And she's only an inch taller than being qualified to be one.
Yeah, well. Yeah. But her ego is gigantic, so.
10-pound ego and a 5-pound little person?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I know you're going to be sad to find out that the Olsen twins will not be part of the Full House reunion.
Yeah, I saw that. They have too many people they have to kill.
Yeah, they're just too busy. They can't squeeze it in. It's like, come on, you couldn't go film for a half a day a scene where you're, like, packing your bags and going on a long trip so that you'll never be back?
Well, and here's the thing, like, did you ever see, what was the name of the movie? Wet Hot American Summer?
No.
So it was a movie that was made in 2001, and it kind of got cult status when it came out on DVD. So Netflix has decided that they're going to make, a series that's Wet Hot American Summer, but from day one, where in the movie it was the last day of summer camp. So you have all these actors that are coming back that are now 15 years older playing younger versions of themselves that are younger than the first movie. And they got people like Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd and all these, I can't remember who else was in it. Not off the top of my head without looking it up. But like Paul Rudd made it a point because he was in the original. He was like, look, I only have like one day. And they rearranged the shooting schedule so that he could participate for one day and shot all of his scenes and did nothing but a big Paul Rudd day. So if he can do that and he's on the cusp of like being in a Marvel movie to where like,
right,
you know, he's not going to have to do that shit anymore.
Right.
The least they can do is show up for an episode and say, oh my God, like we're so over this. I'm leaving.
Uncle Jesse, I always thought you were gay.
Uncle Jesse touched me.
There you go.
Maybe that's what the plot of the show should be.
Oh, there you go.
It's ripped from the headlines. So it's, let's see. Wet Hot American Summer stars Janine Garofalo, Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper came back for this. Michael Ian Black is in it. Elizabeth Banks, David Hyde Pierce, Kevin Sussman from Big Bang Theory.
Who?
He plays the... Oh, what the hell is his name? He plays the dude that runs the comic book store.
Oh, okay.
What's his name on the show? Fuck.
Something Jewish.
No, that's not Wolowitz.
No, it's... What's his name? Oh. Sherman, Herman.
Hang on.
Lerman.
Stewart.
Lerman. Stewart!
Stewart.
I like you, Stewart. You're not like other kids at the trailer park. What's that from?
Oh, fuck, what is that from? I know it, but I can't think of where it's from. What's it from?
The Dead Milkmen.
Oh, okay.
Musical group from back in the day.
Uh-huh. Back when there was records.
Yes.
Weird Al Yankovic is going to be in the new Wet Hot American Summer
series?
TV series.
Wow.
Kristen Wiig. Chris Pine. Like they're just pulling out all the stops. That's what I like about Netflix. Am I keeping you up?
You are.
Jesus, dude. I ask for 1 hour of your time a week.
Yeah, well, you know.
And this is the shit I get.
Yep.
Fine. Well, since John needs to go to bed.
Actually, I'm going to a barbecue.
Oh, fine. Be that way. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, go to our Facebook page, go to the YouTube page, all the fun stuff that we talk about week after week, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Dude, you were like a bull in a vagina shop.